Welcome to Living Life on the Max with Keisha B. Spivey, a weekly podcast that will challenge you and encourage you to live your best life yet. Hello there, and thank you for tuning in to Living Life on Max. On last week, we started talking about a very familiar topic, one that we're all used to dealing with, and we started talking about overcoming stress. We started talking about how to deal with pressure, and just before you go ahead and tune off and think that this is not for you, I'm coming at it from a completely different angle. So often, we spend time talking about stress, and we talk about coping mechanisms and things we can do to deal with it, because they're part of life. But what about those stresses? What about the pressure that's coming from within? What about the stress that you're creating for your life because of these false expectations that you're putting on yourself, this competition with other people, this lack of your willingness to acknowledge who you are and where you are and the things that you really want and willing to fight for the things that you really desire? You know, there's a lot of stress that comes at us, things we can't control. But what about the stressors and the pressure that you can control? What about the things that you can alleviate from your life just because you have a mind shift? What about realizing that you can look at a situation through a different lens? What about realizing you don't have to be everything to everybody? What about realizing, wait a minute, I am the captain of my life, and I get to determine which way this ship is going. As long as I'm in tune with God's will and His word and His plan for my life, then I need to stop letting everybody vote about what I should be doing. So last week, we started this series by talking about knowing who you are. And we talked about how when you don't know who you are, how we allow insecurity to produce pressure in our lives. We allow this to happen because we're trying to be something that we're not. We're living like a double agent life. I also call it Sunday Saint, Monday Ain't. But you're living one way with this group and you live in one way with this other group. And so what happens is you are allowing yourself to be pushed into a corner where you feel the only way you can come out of it is to perform a certain way. The only way you can come out is to conform a certain way. And so what's happening is you put all these unrealistic expectations on yourself. And what you are literally doing is creating stress. You're adding unnecessary stress to your life. You're literally spinning a web. And you're trying to live in it, and you want to call yourself free. The truth is, we all have the power within ourselves to rise above this type of living. The truth of the matter is, there is a better way. There's a better way. Last week, we talked about Jesus' example of how he dealt with pressure and how he knew who he was in the midst of madness. And today, we're going to kind of pick up where I left off, and we're going to take it a step further. When we look at his example and we look at what he modeled for us, not only did he know who he was, he also knew who he was trying to please. He also knew who he was trying to please, and he wasn't trying to please everybody. He wasn't trying to be everything to everybody. So my question to us today is simple. If Jesus did not try to please everyone, isn't it foolish of us to try to do something even God doesn't attempt to do? Why are we trying to be all things to all people? That's not what was modeled for us. And we talked about last week how Jesus was extremely productive and how he had pressures on every side. He had people lying on him wanting to kill him. He had all these things against him, but he stayed in a place of peace because he knew who he was. And today we're going to talk about he stayed in that place because not only did he know who he was, he knew who he was trying to please. And I know people pleasing is a very uncomfortable topic. And I know you can say right now, I don't have that issue, but just stay with me. Just hang with me for a couple of moments, because what I want to let you know is that people pleasing blocks your view. And as I was even preparing for this lesson, I asked God to show me areas in my life where I drift to where other people's opinion matters more than it should, or where I allow my performance and my actions and my decisions to be geared towards someone else's thoughts or someone else's views. And I had to throttle back and ask myself in each of those situations, who is it that I'm really aiming to please? You know, people pleasing will literally make you lose sight on who you're trying to please. All of a sudden, what should be crystal clear becomes so blurry, because now you have all these varying opinions and thoughts and models and expectations coming at you. And unless you know which one's assigned to you, unless you know who you're supposed to please, then you'll be trying to please everybody. And what's literally happening is you're creating stress and pressure and just the inability to enjoy your life, because right now everybody else owns you. It's like you become property and you're sold to the highest bidder or whoever's making the greatest demand at that moment. And what happens when we start falling into trying to people please, if you don't realize, first of all, it's impossible to please everybody, you're going to literally set yourself up to fall short. You can't win in that. You can't have peace in that. You can't experience joy in that if you are trying to please everybody. People who fall prey to this, they find themselves falling into three very dangerous stress-producing categories. The first one, y'all, is criticism. The first one is criticism. Criticism literally becomes a stressor for us because we become overly concerned about what other people think of us. We allow the trap of what are they going to say? What are they going to think? Their opinions matter way more than they should. And what will happen is we literally start filtering our actions and our decisions through the lens of people's opinions. And oftentimes they're really irrelevant. Now, there are some people whose opinions should matter. But when you find yourself just dishing your life out and dishing your time out and spreading yourself so thin, trying to please everybody, trying to appease everyone, then you are literally setting yourself up for failure. So when you think about criticism, how many things are you doing to avoid being criticized? How many things are you doing because you want to hear attaboy or an attagirl from somebody? What are you doing? How much pressure, how much stress are you literally yoking around your neck because you are pleasing too many people or trying to please too many people? Their thoughts and their reactions have all the power. Why would you release that from yourself and put that on somebody else? You know, I read this quote. It says, to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. That was by Elbert Hubbard. But what type of life is that? You know, so often we're trying to avoid being criticized, which literally means you're not doing anything. You're not taking any risk. You're not putting yourself out there. You're not taking on the adventure called life. You're not necessarily pursuing things that will make you uncomfortable, that might put a mark on you for somebody to criticize you. You know, I had a leader years ago say, if they're not talking about you, it's because you're not doing anything. So criticism is a part of the package. And I even think I heard Jake say, if people aren't talking about you, be it negatively or positively, that means you're not giving them anything to talk about. So my phrase is, if I'm going to give somebody something to talk about, let it be something to talk about. Let it be the risk that I'm taking. Let it be the faith leaps that I'm taking. Let it be how focused I am on pursuing God's will and God's plan for my life. Let it be that I'm so in pursuit of Jesus, that I'm a radical believer, that as he tells me to leap and he tells me to go fishing and to let down my net in the deep, that I'm willing to do it. When he tells me to do something very unorthodox or untraditional, and I know that it's him, and I leap out and do it. I don't have to have a congregation of cheerleaders to tell me that's good when it's God. We have to get to a place where we are not making decisions and living our lives based on the criticism of others. The second trap that we fall in when we don't know who we're trying to please that creates stress for our life is called conflict. Conflict. Losing sight of who you're trying to please creates conflict. Why? Because you're so threatened by anyone who disagrees with you. You live on the defense within yourself. You're always trying to defend your decisions to you or trying to defend them to somebody else. It's as if someone, think about it like this, you are at conflict with yourself. It's almost to the degree that if someone has a different thought than yours, you take it personally. Then there's something wrong with you or there's something wrong with them. You either fight to change their mind or you fight to change your position. You literally take on the responsibility that it's your job to convince them to see differently. Who made us the opinion police? Why does everybody else's opinion have so much power over you? Why are you allowing it to stress you out? Why aren't you sleeping at night? Why are you dealing with all this extra anxiety and extra pressure? Because they see things differently than you. It's so okay. Their perspective, their experience, their lens is different. It's not your job to convince them that you're right. And you need to stop letting them convince you that you're wrong. You're creating unnecessary pressure. You're piling on stress. Let people have their opinion. You just know why you have yours. and be man enough and woman enough to stand up on that truth of why you believe like you believe and why you're doing what you're doing. And as long as you know that for yourself, then everybody else's opinion is just their opinion. Why do you think that you have to agree with everyone? Why do you think everyone has to see things the same way? Why do you think everybody's got to be on the same page? Now, hear me clearly. I'm not talking about there's certain things that we need to be in unity on. I'm not talking about those things. I'm just talking about personal preferences. I'm talking about your assignment. I'm talking about what God has told you to do. I'm talking about where God has told you to be. I think about so many risks that I've taken in life only because I knew God was pushing me that way. And I had people tell me it was dumb. I had people tell me I was wrong, but I knew what God said. So even if it meant that I had to be a conflict with them for a moment, I knew who I was trying to please, and I want to please Jesus. I want to stand before him one day and hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And he's not going to ask me about what you thought about what I did. He's not going to ask me what everybody else's vote was. He's going to ask me, was I obedient with the assignment that he gave me? Was I more focused on pleasing him than I was on pleasing others? Did I need his agreement or did I need everybody else's agreement? The stress we can alleviate if we realize who we were aiming to please. And the third thing, y'all, write this down, is competition. Competition. When you're trying to please the wrong person, you fall into this competition trap because you're going to be afraid somehow or another in the mix that someone has gotten ahead of you. Someone has more than you do. Someone has access to something that you don't have. So what's happening is you're now in competition with the neighbor. You're in competition with a friend. You're in competition with a family member. When the only real competition you have is the person that's looking back at you in the mirror. But you've now created this competition. I got to do more. I got to have more. I got to be more. I need more people. I need more this. I need more that. Because you've created competition. You've literally created stress. When you lose focus on who you're aiming to please, it creates stress in your life. And I don't care about all the coping techniques and mechanisms out there. Having a pet and taking a walk doesn't fix this. Only a made-up mind about who you desire to please is going to keep you on track. It's going to keep you on track. You know, a flower does not think of competing against the flower next to it. It just blooms. It doesn't compete with the flower next to it. It just blooms. How much stress could you remove from your life if you focused on blooming where you're planted? If you stop looking over in somebody else's garden to see what they had planted, you stop looking to see what's got a blossom, if you stop looking to see if there's manure over there, if you stop looking to see if the sun is shining brighter over there, whatever is going on in that next lane, in that next garden, has nothing to do with you, your purpose, or your God-given assignment. And you're stressing out about what they're doing and what they have and creating pressure and unnecessary stress in your heart, in your mind, in your life. You're putting pressure on the people close to you. You're putting pressure on your children because they're not acting like somebody else's children. You're putting pressure on your spouse because they're not being like somebody else's spouse. How much stress and pressure are you facing right now in your life because you're looking at somebody else's flower? You're looking at somebody else's marriage. You're looking at somebody else's money. You're looking at somebody else's ministry. You're looking at somebody else's life. You're creating pressure and stress. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're stressed out over, shall be added to you." And yeah, I added that in there, in parentheses and highlights in my notes. But all these things that you're stressing out would be added to you. But you're trying to do it in your own power. You're trying to do it in your own mind. You're trying to do it with your own resources. Think about it. Real talk for a moment. What if your priority was pleasing God? What if your focus was honoring your spouse and training up your children in the way that they should go? How much stress could you remove and overcome if you just committed today to stop being a people pleaser? To stop trying to make everybody like you? Because you can't have everybody like you and then be like Christ because they didn't like him. How much pressure could you overcome? How much pressure could you release yourself from if you just stop trying to please everybody? And we live in a society where we feel like everybody's approval means something. But then I got to ask you, fighting for all that approval, do you approve of you when you lay down at night and you can't sleep and you got all this stuff running through your head? Is it worth it? And I'm not talking about the pressures and the stresses coming from a fallen world that we live in. I'm talking about that which you're creating yourself. You need to simplify your life. You want to overcome stress? Simplify your life. Stop blaming your stress on other people. Stop saying, you made me, I have to, and I've got to. There are very few things in your life that you have to do except go to work and pay your bills. Very few things. This thing called free will gives us choices. So stop putting it on other people. They're not making you do it. You're choosing to. When you're feeling pressure, it is because for some reason you're allowing someone else or some situation to put it on you and you're receiving it. Simplify your life. Stop playing the blame game. Stop looking at other people with awe in your heart because their life seems so simple when you've complicated yours. You're not a victim when it comes to this pressure and stress. It's because you are putting on yourself. It's self-inflicted. What you're feeling, this pressure, is the consequences of the choices you've made to be open to everyone's criticism. The pressure you've placed on yourself to keep up with the Joneses, whoever they are, and the conflict you've created for yourself because you want to control something. This is the ultimate definitions of stress and pressure. It's what it feels like. It's what it looks like. You have full power, and you need to give yourself permission to release yourself from that. You need to know who you are, and you need to know who you're aiming to please. You need to know that. Because if you know who you are, then the situation and the circumstances can't convince you otherwise. And if you know who you're aiming to please, then you'll stop taking orders from people who don't have your best interests in mind. You'll stop trying to approve and appease people who are probably really selfish because they want from you what they need from you so that they can meet their own objectives. They don't make them bad people, but if you're going to comply, why wouldn't they ask you to do it? Even if it is taking you off of your assignment, if you're willing to. You know, Jesus said in John 5:30, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. I'm going to read that again. John 5:30, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus focused on who and what mattered. When we focus on God's will, we simplify our lives. When we know whose approval matters to us, it puts things in perspective. It allows us to get back in the seat and to come in alignment with protection, with power, with peace, with promises, with provisions. How much stress could you avoid if you stop creating it for yourself? And I know this is not probably popular talk. Because it's way easy to talk about what everybody else is doing and if everybody else would stop this and if people would start this. But you want to overcome stress in your life, you got to look in the mirror. Look at the mirror at who's looking back at you and start asking them some questions. Start being honest with that person if you want the trajectory of that person's life to change. Now, when we talk on next week, we're going to talk about knowing what you want to accomplish. Knowing what you want to accomplish. And again, we're not talking coping mechanisms. We're not talking techniques. We're talking about fixing the problem. And that's for you to look within, to take a look in the mirror and do what's required so that you can enjoy your life and you can minimize unnecessary stress that you tend to put on yourself. So I hope this has blessed you. I look forward to us connecting on next week. And until then, do you to the max. God bless.